Hello, and welcome to the Design for Greatness podcast, conversations with Candace to help you elevate your mind, body, and spirit and own your divine greatness. Today, you have my interview with Stacey Harmer. Stacey is a certified life and holistic health coach. She's a graduate from BYU and the Life Coach School, Institute of Integrative Nutrition, and the Institute of Healing Arts. She's a mom of eight, has five darling grandkids. She's the founder of Vibrant Living Wellness Academy, a community focused on individuals healing their bodies, hearts, minds, and souls, discovering their purpose and passion, and sharing their unique gifts with the world. She loves to travel, host transformational health and wellness retreats. She's a speaker, podcast host, and author. Friends, we are in for such a treat today. Seriously, I cannot wait for you to experience Stacey. Welcome to the Design for Greatness podcast, Stacey. I am so happy to have you here.
Thank you, Candace. I appreciate it. I'm happy to be here as well.
Yeah. So as we start out, I want to just jump right in to what you feel your mission is and what brought you there, your journey. I'd love to hear.
Oh, goodness. Okay. I would say my mission is really to help women heal their past, heal their bodies, hearts, minds, and souls, discover their purpose and passion, and really share those unique gifts with the world. Sounds like very similar to you.
But we are so in alignment. Yes.
Absolutely. I got there through a hard journey, as I think most of us do, right? And that was the unexpected passing of my sweet little daughter, who had been sick for a short period of time, and ended up, we found her as she had passed away in her sleep, very unexpectedly, completely blindsided us in the situation. So it was devastating, that experience. And what happened is, you know, of course, your heart is just broken into a bazillion pieces. And even though during that process, I felt God's love and just being so surrounded by support. But after a period of time, I really started spiraling. And really, it was 2 years after her passing that, even though we had lost her, now my family was losing me, as I had just spiraled into a deep clinical depression. And of course, as moms, all we want to do is love and protect and have our children close. And I took so much of that on myself. I'm wishing, oh, if only I had done this or that. And I really turned on myself, right? And so I spiraled into a deep clinical depression and was rushed off to the hospital for several weeks with some serious medical intervention. And when I got home, I knew I was on a pathway of healing, and I didn't know how to get there. I truly did not know how to get there. And I remember pleading and going down in the mornings and pleading to the Lord and praying. And I was unrecognizable to myself and everybody that knew me from my past, right? But I was just like, I feel like this, like lots of broken pieces. And how do I put my life and self back together? And I began writing in the morning and doing, like, it's called morning notes, right? Just writing out my thoughts and feelings. And I did not understand or really know much about personal development, but I started studying and, of course, going to the scriptures and my Father in heaven and Savior. But as I was writing, I got this image, and it was of a beautiful tree, like a woman, like representative of myself, right?
Yes.
And my arms were up and these roots were going down, and the Spirit just spoke to me, and I started sketching out this tree. And this is what I heard. And it was like, Stacey, you need to nourish your body, your heart, your mind, and soul on a daily basis. Like, everything had kind of crumbled at that point, and you need to take care of your body, because I had turned to food in an unhealthy way to buffer those painful emotions that I didn't know how to deal with. My heart, I didn't know how to process the emotions of such deep grief that I was going through and how I had turned on myself. And so I needed to understand what to do with this level of intensity of emotions. I was playing in my mind just negative thoughts. If, like I said, if only I had done this and that and the other. And I didn't realize I was setting myself up for this really epic breakdown through the thoughts I was thinking and words I was saying to myself. Yes. I had no idea that's what I was doing.
Yes.
And my spirit, I knew I had to go deep and connecting with God, my Savior, like never before. So anyway, those were the four roots. The trunk represented setting up systems and structures, because even though typically I like to be an organized person, at this time I wasn't, and everything felt chaotic. And it was like, okay, start putting some routines. So that trunk was like structure, your morning routine, some evening routines. And the branches represented, you know, my arms up and reaching up to the heavens and just rediscovering my purpose and passion. Because I honestly am a passionate person and always have been, and really been driven by the heart. But at this time, everything seemed so dark and gray. And I didn't know what my passion was, but I was told, like, start nourishing those roots. And pretty soon you'll rediscover your purpose and passion, and then bear fruit, like a fruit tree produces fruit. And that fruit is meant to be shared. And just like fruit trees, right? I have peach trees in my yard. If we don't pick them and share them, they drop, they rot, they make a mess in our lives. And that was like the visual, Stacy, start doing these things. And as I did and got to work on myself and went and started doing lots of personal work and study and really holding the hand of the Lord, I saw my own transformation, and I couldn't keep it to myself. I decided to reach out to others. I ended up writing a book, and it's been my mission ever since, because I feel passionate about helping women go through those struggles, but then rediscover their purpose and passion, and then share the gift. And I really feel like sharing the gift, sharing your gifts and talents and your voice, that is, it helps in the healing process. It helps us continue the healing process, because now we're giving back. I mean, I think that's almost the key to it, right?
Truly. Yes, we're all that wounded healer. And because of the wounds and the mess that we've been through, we now know how to help others through it. And in that, together we rise. And that is such a powerful concept. And yes, I love your visual of the tree. In fact, when I was going through my own mess, I had a visual of a tree come to me too, and I'll have to show you a picture of it. I have it hanging on my wall. So it's depression and negative self-talk is one thing that I attack with vigor. The mind is the battlefield, truly. Help my listeners understand how you became, I call it the boss of your brain. How did you take control back of your thoughts?
Oh, I love that. Because before I didn't realize, like I said, I was creating this demise for myself.
You have to really wake up to it, because you believe that it's just the real hard, cold reality of just what it is. You don't understand there's a choice there.
Exactly. I kept telling myself, I don't even like to say the word, but just like, I'm a failure. I mean, I wanted to be the best mom, and I'm like, what happened? And it was so devastating. So that negative talk was, I know the effects of that. So what I did was, when I was really down and trying to rebuild my life, I knew I had to start choosing better words. And of course, I started studying and learning about this, which I didn't really realize before, because I hadn't needed it so much. But so I knew I needed to say better things about myself and think better thoughts. But at the time, I couldn't find it within me. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I did something. This thought came to me. I'm like, if I can't find those positive things that I know I am truly, because there was a spark still, but this was at the depth of the depression and coming out of it. There was still a little bit of spark, but man, I did not have that strength within yet. So what I decided to do was make a list of really incredible people in my life, women particularly, that I wanted to be like, that I loved who they were and their character traits and things. So I made a list of those people, and I decided I chose like two traits that they had, and I wrote them down. And even though I couldn't find it within myself, I could think of them. I could think of my sister, who was loving and vibrant, my friend Ginger, who was giving and compassionate, my daughter Aubrey, who was sweet and gentle. And so I wrote down all these traits, and I decided, and that's when I just, heard about affirmations and things. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to put this into practice. And I wrote down this list, and I decided, this was, like I said, the beginning, and I tweaked things for sure, but this is what got me out. and control my mind. And I would say that list every morning and night. But what happened also was I'd be driving the car down the road, and all of a sudden my mind would go back to something. And I, in a split second, would go down the slippery slope to the negative talk.
That downward spiral, it just takes you.
And it was so quick, so fast. And so I thought, I have got to memorize these affirmations and things I say to myself. So I memorized this list. Do you care if I share it with you?
Please, I would love it.
I literally, said it, daily, multiple times a day for well over a decade, because I was so desperate. So I am Stacey Larson Harmer. I'm loving and vibrant, giving and compassionate, sweet and gentle, strong and determined. I'm helpful and healing, fit and lean, smart and articulate, clean and organized, inspiring and influential. I'm beautiful and talented. I'm pure and virtuous. I'm an incredible wife and mother. I'm self-motivated, self-disciplined, devoted daughter of God, the faithful follower of Jesus Christ. And honestly, I have way more because
I love it.
I started saying that. And of course, it's not just saying it. It's like, okay, these were the traits of others that I loved and wanted to recreate myself into. But once again, I couldn't find it within myself. So I imagined them. But then I started imagining myself that was who I am. And honestly, repeating those things and holding on. And when my mind would start spiraling, I would like, no, this is who I am. I am. And I would go through the whole list again, because
yes,
I'm not going to fight for our mind and thought. Who is? And I had discovered that so personally that I had to be a warrior for myself. And, since then, I've learned many more tools and things, but bottom line, it is what we say and what we think and the emotion that generates and the actions, whether good or bad, So it's that turnaround. And I just decided I knew what it was like to be at the bottom of the pit, and I didn't want anyone else to get there or remain there. And so, man, I knew I had to fight for myself and then turn around and try to teach it to others.
I love it. I think what you're highlighting is there is so much power in words, words said both internally and out loud. And when you notice that the words internally are going down that slippery slope, that downward spiral, how powerful it is to say them out loud, to focus your heart and your head on what is true. And the truth is, you are all of those things. Even if it's just the tiniest seed of it, you have divinity within us. We all do. It reminds me of a time in my life when I struggled through my own depression, but there was a time when I felt seriously attacked. I really felt attacked, and I was driving. And whenever I would feel this darkness like come over me and start to attack me, I would say, the scripture about charity: charity suffereth long and is kind and envieth not, is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh all things, beareth all things, hopeth all things. It's not on the top of my head right now, but I would say that out loud, and I could tell it shifted things. And when we then, and you've taken it a step further, that was before I had even gotten into any of life coaching or cognitive behavioral therapy or any of this work, but when you then begin to claim it as I am, those I am statements, I mean, I am are the two most powerful words in the human language. God himself calls him the great I am. It is incredible. It's creation. It's beautiful, but it can also be used destructively. And how we use those I am words and what we claim about ourselves and who we are, it is vital. And it is so, so important that we're aware.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. And, I experienced it myself of destroying myself by the words I spoke that I am, yes, in the negative sense. And I tell you, I understand the power of recreating and that we do have that power, especially like you said, along with God and Christ, and to claim that for ourselves, that divinity.
Yes. Yes. When I went through my depression and my lowest of lows, I had an incredible experience actually with Christ and through prayer. And it shocked me awake to what I was doing and how wrong it was. And it taught me that God loved me in a deep way that is so incredibly sacred. At your lowest, what experiences did you have with God that helped you realize you were divine?
Man, oh my goodness, wow. So many, and continued. And, you know, I always loved God, Father, my whole life. But I remember the morning of my daughter's passing, and after they had taken her from my arms, and we'd said a family prayer. Later, I found a place by myself, and I just prayed and wept and did not know what to do. And I remember calling out in prayer just at, for help. And this thought came about Jesus Christ and the atonement. It doesn't only heal, you know, for our mistakes and sins and everything. It carries every single thing, our heartache, our grief. And so this thought came to pour out and just pray for that, that he could help me and heal. And once I did that, I had this incredibly warm feeling come over me, that all would be well. But still, I was battling, right? But a few things that I did is I would wake up during the night because, of course, I couldn't sleep. And I would take my scriptures and journal and go downstairs into our living room. And I had a picture of Christ on the wall. And I would take this picture, it was quite a large picture, down and put it on the floor. And as I was just writing and most of the time just sobbing, I mean, just in such deep grief, and pouring out my heart, I began talking to him like a friend, because I needed to just talk to someone. And I knew that he was the only one that knew the depth of my heart. And as I began doing that and literally talking, you know, in those times, but then just anytime as a friend, all of a sudden something changed, and he began really pouring gifts and spiritual gifts in ways that I didn't even know were possible in this life to connect at that sweet level. And yeah, many things, many things, but that are very sacred, but that I will cry from the housetops till the day I die that he lives and he is real and he is amongst us and he desires to manifest himself to us. And so within, I feel like he's within me, and my mission is a co-creator with him to bring about, you know, light to the world. But yeah, all those experiences are so foundational. And it's like you said, sometimes it's difficult for others to understand. And sometimes I would get so excited at some of my new insights and understanding and start sharing. And maybe others weren't ready for that. And so I just hold it in my heart. But I know it's time for people to know and realize that how real that connection can be. And man, that gives so much personal power and strength.
100%. It's interesting. I feel women are being called right now to wake up and to truly stand up in their power and fulfill the missions that they were sent here to do. But they cannot wake up if they're stuck in their head in insecurity and negative self-talk, in depression, in playing small. They can't stand tall if they're insecure about their bodies, if they're feeling like they're too big and they're just continually putting themselves down about their bodies. And they cannot wake up if they're not connected to that divinity. So it's so important, our mind, our body, our spirit, and connecting with, when I talk about the body, the heart to me is part of the body, because the body is what then is manifests what's happening in our heart. The body is where we process all of the heart emotions. And what you talked about structures, and you talked about systems in the trunk of the tree that you had the visual come. And to me, that trunk of the tree, those systems, those things that we do every day, sometimes I call them the bookends to our days. Talk to me more about that, how that has really put you on a path to accessing God and to accessing your heart, mind, spirit, soul.
I think that is so critical, so important, because We're busy, right? We are busy people and women and have so many demands in our life. And if we don't carve out those bookends of our days, we get up and off and we miss out on those incredible connections that give us the power and strength. And so for me, those are my routines. It's called my morning and evening routine. And the things that I love to do during that time is one, the stillness. Meditation has been the most, there's so many powerful things, but right? I mean, I would say the most powerful thing for me to connect, because I'm a goer and my mind goes. But to be able to calm down my body and mind and connect is so powerful. And it just takes time.
It's a higher form of prayer, truly.
It truly is. And it was David O. McKay that said that meditation is the most sacred pathway or doorway that we can walk through to come into the presence of God. And I believe it and have experienced that. And, you know, right after my daughter's passing, in fact, just minutes after they took her from my arms, my husband gathered us in prayer. And I was given, I guess, the first spiritual gift that I'd ever realized or been a parent. And it was as we were in circle in prayer and our hearts were absolutely crushed. Given a vision, is it okay if I share? Like, this Please. Is personal, but I did write it in my book because it awakened me to what was possible. I don't remember the words in the prayer that my husband spoke, but as my eyes were closed, this little sweet, beautiful daughter that had just been taken from my arms was now in my vision with, and I'd never had that experience, closing my eyes and seeing something like that with my niece who had also passed away. And they were arm in arm. My niece had passed away from cystic fibrosis. She'd had a double lung transplant and rejected her lungs. And that was when she was like 13 years old. But anyway, these two girls were arm in arm and embracing, and they were spinning and their heads were back and looked like they were laughing and their arms and, you know, we're together and smiling. And then it stopped. And my little Olivia like looked at me and gave me a thumbs up. So that was the first gift to awaken to me to like, oh my gosh, what in the world just happened? They took her body and there she is. And she's alive and happy and telling me it's okay. And at that moment, my sister, who her daughter was the one in the vision with mine, that had passed away. She lived near us in San Diego. So the minute my husband found our daughter, he knew I was going to need someone that had already walked this path. So he called my sister to be there with me. So she was in my home and I ran down and I said, our girls are together. They're happy. They are. And I shared with her this little glimpse of what the Lord had granted me. And from that moment on, I wanted to part the veil more than I wanted anything, more than I wanted to eat or drink or sleep or do anything. I knew that there was this connection. And that was my journey to be able to do that. And through meditation, I tell you, that was my avenue to connect with the divine and connect with her and others. And man, it's a process. And once again, even though I did later spiral into the depression, it's a little complicated, but you open the door of so much light. There's two ends of the stick, and I didn't understand the depth of the darkness that would be available as well. But we don't need to get into that. But you understand when you said
100%. And that there's opposition in all things, too.
Absolutely. But it is and still is to this day for me, those mornings and evening times when we connect through meditation and prayer and plead for that. But I also think there can be blocks, like, you know, in those things, whether it be our thoughts or the foods we eat or whatever. And as we cleanse ourselves, our bodies, our hearts, and release the negative emotions that might be holding us. And as we do those things, we become a more clean vessel to receive all that God wants us to receive. And I imagine myself like this clear vessel to be open, and it's incredible what what can happen if we don't get in our own way, right? So that, so anyway, those taking care of your body, heart, mind, soul, it starts in the those mornings and evenings, I think, with our thoughts, our meditation, our prayer, maybe writing, lots of things, moving our body and things like that. But that's what's helped me. And but meditation has been instrumental because it was that first experience. And I'm like, I want that. And how do I do that? And I knew I had to slow down. I've heard this thought, I think it was Deepak Chopra that talked about like this lake. Imagine a lake or a body of water, and it's just still. And you throw a rock in and you see the ripples out. You can see it. But you see that same body of water, if it's an ocean or whatever, and it's or like, and there's lots of waves and it's turbulent, and you throw a rock in, you don't see the waves because they're just so much. He said, that's like what your mind is. And you need stillness to be able to hear and receive, right? But then when there's so many things going on, that's it's hard to do. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, I love that thought. And when I first was introduced with meditation, I was so frustrated because I could never reach that stillness that you speak of, where it's like a still mirror lake, right? Like it's a mirror. It's just perfectly flat, like what you want to water ski on. I could never get there. And I found a quote that said, your mind thinks like your heart beats. So if you expect your mind to be quiet, then you might as well be dead because your mind is going to think like your heart beats. You wouldn't want your heart to stop beating. So it's okay if your mind thinks. But I think the trick is to get everything out that your mind is so trying to bring you. And that's what you're talking about when you were journaling in the morning. I think that was such a beautiful gift that God gave you to help you begin to get all of those thoughts onto paper. Brain dumping and the ability to, I call it word vomit, onto paper, just to give validity to what's going on in your mind. Our thoughts aren't always ours. And sometimes, a lot of times, they're pushed into our head through other means. And when you're able to get that out onto paper and say, oh, that's not mine, that doesn't serve me, that's a lie, I don't want to think that, we're able to then say, okay, but we give our brain a second to be heard, kind of like that little child that's like, mom, 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 right? And you're like, shh, shh, and they just get louder. And you're like, shh, shh, I don't want to hear that right now. And they just get louder and louder. And that's what our brain does. And so when we take that moment to really be like, okay, what do you want to tell me? And just get it all out. At that point, that's when I have found, when I give it some credence, allow it to be, and then I become the mom, like, I hear you. That's not where we're going to go today. And then we're able to then get to that place in meditation where then we can receive, because our brain's not so worried about making sure that we hear it.
Yes. I love that. Thank you so much. That whole idea. I don't know if you're familiar with The Artist's Way, the book, The Artist's Way by Julie Cameron, that same thought. She calls it morning notes, but to literally, yes, just dump whatever is in your head. It doesn't even matter. Doesn't need to make sense, but I love how you explain it. Just giving it credence and just the attention. But then what happens, and this is how the whole vision of the tree came to me and the pathway to healing and all that. I would just write, because I started learning that technique. And then it like opens up this pathway to God to then speak to us, maybe either through writing or the same thing if you're in meditation. But how I used meditation was I wanted to connect with my daughter. Like that was my goal, to part the veil to connect with her. And I'll tell you, we had some beautiful connections and communication, but I knew there were certain things I had to do to be in that space. Right. And it's everything we're talking about.
Oh, I love that so much. I think there's two pieces to this. There's like the release and then the replace, right? The release when you write it and you word vomit and you dump it. But then I think it's also important then you replace. Now that it's gone, then you replace it with those powerful connection things that truly allow you to hopefully part the veil. That is incredible. Do you feel like your daughter is with you often? How is that relationship with her now?
Well, this is what brings me peace. And I believe, well, there's a little picture. We adopted her from Korea. Five years to the day that she was in my arms, we laid her to the rest. I believe that we had a mission before we came. And because getting her into our family was such a journey and a spiritual experience, something I had never gone through either. And so all of a sudden, I'm like, what in the world? Like, I knew God brought her to our family. And so the whole experience was so challenging for me. But what has brought me peace is, yes, I do believe she's my guardian angel and with me. And my mission, and to share the things that I'm trying to share to help one, women heal, but also to awaken to who they are. But ultimately, what my ultimate passion is to awaken them to come to know Christ in a really personal way that will change their life. It's like what you said, when something changes you, you can never go back. You can never go back. And that is what, that's the, I don't know, the energy and passion behind what I've experienced to, but yes, I believe she's with me. And when my book tells my journey of with her and the things that I learned from her and my healing with her, but I feel like my call now is to gather women to awaken, like you said, to themselves, to then gather others and just bring more light into the world as the world is shifting, and honestly, to prepare for his coming again. And so, yeah, I feel like we're in a partnership and we're in this together.
I love it so much. I love it so much. So we've talked a lot about the mind and the spirit. Let's talk about the body just a little bit before we wrap up. What have you found that is the very best thing to give love to your body? And how do you honor this beautiful gift that we've been given that houses our mind and spirit?
That is a good question. And I don't know if I have that mastered quite yet, but it is something I've continually worked on and struggled with and worked on and struggled with as well. But I am so grateful because, man, even doctors and other people after in my healing, they said, you've got a strong body to have taken you through everything that you've gone through. And honestly, one of the reasons that I spiraled so deeply and I was rushed to the hospital, I had deprived myself of sleep. And because I wanted those connections for, anyway, it's very complicated, but my body truly broke down, but then came back. I like to think of it as this like phoenix rising, not just the body, but the whole, you know, heart and mind and spirit. But how do I show up? I have to show myself grace because, you know, I turn to food in unhealthy ways, and it can still be a struggle because before her passing and things, I didn't really use that as a crutch, but I had such a high level of intense, painful emotions that at the time that was like the only thing that would like bring me pleasure for a minute and let that go away, right? Buffer out those feelings.
Yeah.
And so I struggled with that and struggled with weight gain and all of that. And I'm still learning how to really trust my body and love my body. But the main thing I think for me is just grace. And I had to come to kind of a place of peace with my food. And because I also felt a lot of guilt and shame, like, oh, why I just kept cooking cookies or whatever, you know?
Yes.
And I was coached through this, and it's like, okay, what did it serve me? And rather than feeling the shame of kind of the pathway I'd gone to just like help alleviate some of the pain I was going through, I had to go to a place of gratitude for that it helped me survive for that period of time and kind of a release, like, thank you for what you did. But now I'm ready to go to the next level of health and care for my body. But after her passing, I went through some other things like breast cancer and, you know, lots of things. And through that journey of breast cancer, I went on a deep dive understanding of detoxing and how the toxins in our bodies, you know, form because of, well, lots of things, and some could be emotional. And so it's a continual process for me, but I'm just grateful for my body that's continuing on and giving it grace that, you know, when I don't do so good, I can try again. You know, it's a gift, and it's a temple, I feel like, and just feel gratitude for what it is. And
yeah,
it's still a work in progress for me.
I love it so much. My Body Love Weight Release program is all about that, about learning to find grace, about understanding why we buffer, about figuring out how to understand to be grateful. And that gratitude piece is a magnet for miracles. It truly is. And grace and gratitude together is like this powerful double punch that truly can kick shame and insecurity to the curb. And it is incredible to be able to get there. And just understanding how critical our body is in the whole trifecta. There's three things that make us a human. We have a mind, a body, and a spirit. And every single one of those pieces has to be in alignment if we are to truly like own our gifts and use them to serve this world. And you've just shown us in such beautiful ways how they all come together. I'm just so grateful we've had this chance to be together. I wanted to ask you about this beautiful, incredible conference that you're putting on that I'm so honored to be a part of. Will you just speak to us about Arise and Shine for a second?
Yes, absolutely. Arise and Shine. And it comes from the scripture, Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy, what is it? Thy light has come and the glory of the Lord is upon you. Something like that. And this is the idea of just allowing women to do everything we've talked about, to awaken to who they are. And it's a calling and to be able to claim their gifts and talents and to share that we all have this purpose and mission. So this idea of the conference is a gathering of women and a platform for others to share their voices. And I'm so excited. It's going to be a transformational event. And I put one on, we've done a few in the past, smaller scale, and then a larger one in a couple of years ago. And it was a lot of work to put on, but it was an amazing event. We had hundreds of people there. It was so transformative. But afterwards, I kind of shut down because, wow, man, it took a lot to put on a big conference. And so I hadn't really thought about, okay, I'm going to do it again. But I do these health and healing retreats in Hawaii. And in October, I was there. And during my meditation, all of a sudden, just arise and shine, it's time. And all these things, gather the women, let them know who they are, these like celestial beings. And it was really a beautiful, I don't like to say download, but just inspiration that came. I'm like, okay, it's time to do it again. So I started gathering. I'm so grateful that somehow we got connected, that you're one of the speakers. There's going to be a total of 31 speakers. A couple that are sharing together, 30 classes, 45 vendors. We have an opening and closing session that Yehosh Bonner from the Bonner family will be one of our singers. Aaliyah Rose, who put on the voice, she's actually my niece, great niece, will be singing. And it's a day of gathering, of nourishment of ourselves, a transformation, and then to go forth the strength to contribute, to use our voices and share our gifts and talents. And the Friday night before, we do the sound bowl meditation that will be so, so beautiful. So many different sounds that help elevate our vibration. Have a luncheon, just so many things that I'm so excited about. It's April 27th is the Saturday with the VIP sound bowl thing on the 26th. But it was a call. It was another, that's kind of how I guide my life. It's like, okay, where do you want me next? And what do we do? And so I answered it and here we are.
Oh, I love it so much. Yeah, following those crumbs of inspiration is huge and it's often scary and it's very uncomfortable, but it is what it's supposed to do. Yeah, what I'm speaking on is wake up, own your divine greatness. And I just think it's amazing to find someone so in alignment with me, and your story is very similar to mine. And it's been such a pleasure to interview you here today. Is there anything else that you have on your heart before we leave, that you'd like to leave us with?
I would love to just share how to get tickets, because we would love anyone to come join us. It's down at the Miller Conference Center at the Salt Lake Community Center in Sandy. And you can go to vibrantlivingwellnessconference.com to get tickets. And we actually have a coupon code for 20% off if you put on in SHINE, in capital letters to SHINE, and would invite you, the audience, to come join us. And I want to express my gratitude to you, Candace, and I can't wait to get to know you better and know more of your coaching and programs. And I love what you're doing, and I love to link arms with like-minded women. I have this analogy of, if you can break a stick or pin one, right? But you get a bundle and you can't break it. And when like-minded women come together and link arms in purpose and mission, it's powerful.
Yes. Like
all strength. So thank you so much for what you are doing.
Oh, thank you. It's just been such an honor to meet you. And I can't wait. Join us at Arise and Shine. It will be amazing. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me today. Wow. What a gift to be enlightened and inspired by Stacey Harmer. She shared such beautiful nuggets of light and truth with us about our thoughts, our bodies, our spiritual connection, her insights on healing and overcoming depression and grief. They were absolutely beautiful. I know I am inspired. I hope you are too. Stacey is such a vibrant example of a powerhouse woman choosing to own her divine greatness in order to help other women heal, arise, and shine. I love how she is bringing people to Christ, as Christ truly is the master healer. He's the key. Friends, may we all strive to tap into our own power and purpose as we learn to own our greatness and use it to serve this world in our own unique ways, just like Stacey Harmer. Join us at Arise and Shine Conference on 4/27. It would be so fun to see you there. The link is in the show notes. And one last thing. I just want to share with you a cold, hard truth. If you are in the habit of talking crap on yourself, you will never be able to shine your light or own your greatness in the way that you were meant to. I know it's tricky to stop it. So I have created a free mini course to get you started on the path of becoming the boss of your brain. It's called 5 Days of Focus. The mind truly is the battlefield, and it is critical that we wake up to our thoughts and learn to live with a mind firmly aligned, a body purposefully loved, and a spirit powerfully accessed. Truly, mind, body, spirit alignment, it starts with becoming the boss of our brain. And it is the linchpin to living an elevated life. So the link to this free course is also in the show notes. I cannot wait to help you become the boss of your brain so that you can more fully live an elevated, meaningful life of fulfillment and show up powerful in this world. Always remember, you are designed for greatness.